our assignments
here we go
over the weekend. On Friday, beginning today, your daily practice will be to practice your commitment, record what you noticed at the end of the day. On Saturday, do your daily practice, whether you feel like it or not. Practice ignoring any voice of resistance, especially, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. Remember, we're no longer practicing not keeping commitments. We're training to be free of the conditioning that stops us from being here, keeping our commitments. And then on Sunday, do your daily practice. Be on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message or experience of feeling bad as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. Remember, we're practicing being what we are. We're not practicing being what we're not. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Justin.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Justin.
Oh, hi. This is amazing. I'm actually on. this month...
Good to hear you, Justin.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you, Sherry. So this month what I've been practicing with is inadequacy. And it's interesting, it must have been, you know, a couple of years ago at the monastery. And I mean, this was well into my practice. And I think we were doing an exercise and you said, well, you know, those voices of inadequacy, and you kind of just, like an offhanded comment, you know, how bogus they were. And boy, that for me, I had lived so long in a view of being inadequate and being such a underlying foundational belief that it was just like, it's quite amazing to actually have that epiphany that back then. And it's good to be working with it now. And how I've been seeing how it's been playing itself out, especially with this year-long retreat, and I saw it this month, and what it is how it stops me from calling into the show. And what I found myself doing was listening to, like I always listen to the shows and the radio shows and whatnot, and when I listen to the shows, there's this underlying... these voices that keep saying, you know, this was the assignment, this is what the person is saying, like the caller in, and this is what Sherry responds. And I'm always comparing that to what I would have said as the caller and what I would have said as you. I mean, that sounds totally ridiculous, but there's that commentary that what I would have said is not answering the assignment, and what you said doesn't correspond what conditioning would have said. So again, it didn't measure up. So, you know, for the past year, I've been listening, comparing, and the voice is telling me that it's, you know, I'm still quote unquote not ready to call in because what conditioning would have said and what I'm hearing, there was that, you know, they're not the same. But that's the whole point, that they didn't have to be the same. It's like.
Yes. Well, and you make the best argument of all time for getting stuff out of our head and, you know, just even saying it out loud.
I know.
Right?
It's
yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's like, what? What? How could, but when we're inside with it, it's, you know, as you say, those voices had been doing that to you forever. Didn't even occur to you that they were voices making a case for your inadequacy. It never occurred to you. So how would we possibly ever get any other information if we didn't put ourselves in these kinds of situations and say what's going on so that we can get another perspective?
Exactly. And I mean, it's just so
insidious.
Exactly. And that's absolutely. And, you know, going back to one of the quotes earlier in the assignments, which is you know, the Martha Graham quoted that, you know, each of us are unique. You know, I mean, this is the whole point. We're each of us are unique. And, you know, what I've been practicing with now, like my commitment for the, you know, these 7 days is, you know, when I hear that message of inadequacy, you know, the underlying foundation is, you know, is the premise is incorrect, because we, each of us is unique, and each of us, being unique, there is no basis for comparison, because that comparison is the thing.
Exactly. People get so wound up that no two snowflakes are alike.
Yeah.
Right? Well, no two anythings are alike.
Yeah.
Unless we're just really not paying attention. Because even if you take two things, you put them under a microscope, and you get irrefutable evidence that they are exactly, no, they're not, because they were two different things put under the microscope. So no, that whole fallacy so feeds ego, right? There is not anything to compare Justin to. Nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
Not even Justin.
Or Justin a minute ago, exactly. I mean, there's...
Right.
Each of us is a permutation.
Exactly. Only in this moment. Right? Only this is all we've got, and there is nothing that it can be compared to.
Exactly.
That is brilliant. And, you know, the thing, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The thing that can be really helpful is every time that voice comes up, you pick up the recorder and say, so what the voice just said was, and that's not true. Because what is true? And then you actually verbalize what you know to be true, not just let it stay inside the head, because we know who's in charge of that for all of us.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much. And it was really just listening to one of the past, I think it was a month ago maybe, when you had said, you know, awareness practice is not a spectator sport. And so that kind of pushed me over the edge to, you know, to dial
you got
in.
That
and
finger yeah. aimed at that. Star 6.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Justin. And that is just the crux of it, right, Sherry, that the premise that ego offers us is believable only because it's never questioned. And we just need to catch on to that all the time. It's always what is as a function of what is not, and because we'd never stop to question it, we just go with ego.
Yeah. And once we see it, the way it was just described, once we see it, we're really now on the lookout, right? Because what else? My God, what else? You know, my favorite, I know you know this because you've heard me say this any number of times, but one of my favorite experiences in the world is to come across a word that I've never seen or heard of. Now, I'm not talking about some obscure, you know, something. I just read this in a, you know, something, and I think, where has that word been? Did it just appear? And then, of course, I begin to see it everywhere. Right? I hear people say it. I read it. And I think, what was I doing when I didn't see or hear that before? That is a fascinating place to be in awareness practice, because what it tells me, of course, is there are big blips in conscious awareness where I'm off doing something else, and it doesn't seem random.
Yeah, that awareness practice, is the way we talk about it, is a refinement of seeing, and the thing that we are constantly coming to terms with is how much that conversation blocks out certain things, and we don't know it blocks it out. And so anything that assists us to see what a way in which we're not seeing is something really, really exciting.
Yes, yes.
And not a place for self-hate.
See.
Yes, and
no.
not a place
oh,
for
no.
self-hate.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Self-hate would say, well, yeah, because you don't pay attention, and you're not paying attention. Attention is what you do for a living, right?
Right.
And you're not paying attention. So what is the matter with you, and why don't you just shut up and not talk to anybody else about attention until you get it right?
Well, and that's
that would miss the point.
Yes, and that's what Justin's pointing to, that comparison is the way in which we miss being here for what is, because it's always being compared to.
As soon as we catch on to something, then it hops on that with a, well, yeah, but you.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ren.
Hello, Ren. What are you seeing?
I'm going right along with this conversation. I've been seeing a lot of stories of comparison, but I've been seeing, ever since you phrased it as they're wrong, you're wrong, they're wrong, you're wrong, I've been able to see that. Still kind of caught up in it, but seeing it more.
Yes, Ren, which is what we were just looking at, right? I mean, that's a perfect articulation of it. We're still caught up in it because we're brainwashed. You know, whatever that is, that's been going on since before we can remember. We've been taught to do that, right? You've got to be in a subject, and you're supposed to get all A's.
Right.
So what's wrong? Is it that? It's probably the teacher, right? The teacher likes so-and-so better, and that's why he gives them, yeah? So that's been going on with us forever. So even though we see it, we're still going to get caught. Exactly.
But, yeah, finally just, and I say finally because, you know, it's been going on all my life, but when I feel that sensation, instead of saying, oh, what's wrong, it's an indicator pointing me, why is this bothering you so much about what this person is doing, saying, whatever? Maybe you need to look at that part of yourself. Eye-opening. And the one other thing I wanted to, this metaphor just kind of dropped in. If you're on Teams, which is kind of like Zoom that we have to use for school, the kids like to put a backdrop behind them, like a virtual backdrop, like, you know, you're in space, you're in Star Wars, wherever. And if they're holding up a toy or something like a show and tell, you cannot see it unless they remain perfectly still. And when they're perfectly still, then the object comes into focus. And of course, they don't even realize this because they're on the other side, right? So they don't know what they look like. But it just, you know, gave me a pause about, again, that, and I don't know if trying is the word, but that shift towards being still, and then it comes in as opposed to in that friendly comparison. Yeah.
That is brilliant, isn't it? That is brilliant. And that piece of they don't know because they're on the other side of it, which is what is true for us, right? As long as I'm on the other side of something, I just have no idea that it's going on. But if I'm still, and what you're pointing at is how those two come together, right? When the child is very still, it will come in. Now, of course, children, not so much. But for us, you know, when we're very still, we get both sides of it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it comes in clearly for me, and I can have a sense that it's clear. Now, it doesn't mean anything about how you're going to see it, but I can sense the clarity of it.
Yes, and just recognizing that story of do more and compare and do and do and do is just a story. It's a familiar story.
It's the movement, right?
Yeah.
It's the movement. It's what keeps us from being able to be still enough to see.
Yeah. Deep gratitude for the practice. Thank you.
Oh, I hear you, Ren. Thank you.
Thanks, Ren. Sherry, I am trying to... Yeah, hang on a second. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just bring on the next caller while I work on this cue. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Lori calling from Asheville.
Hello, Lori. What are you seeing? Oh, I hear an echo. Are you on speaker by any chance?
I was. Now I'm not.
Okay. Now you're not, and we're not echoing.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thank you. What's going on?
Great. Well, I've really been looking at the practice of how love lives, you know, through this being or whatever, but just how it's expressed and mm-hmm. and accepting, you know, this whole loving and then accepting and bringing them together, so to say, accepting that whatever is here actually is an expression of love, which is what we talk about so much, and exploring kind of what is that really like? What is it like, particularly if there's something that's going on that, you know, there's the judgment, there's the conditioned lens that's looking at it and saying, well, not that really, you know, maybe some other things, but not that. And to say, well, I don't know.
May I?
Yeah.
What you're seeing is what's not. How what's not shows up.
Yeah.
How it
attempts to, right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how in the what's not that wants the attention to say, okay, well, yeah, we could see that beautiful landscape is love. Sure, that is. But you know, look at all that mm-hmm. stuff over there. It's like the pile.
Right.
I think
look at those neighbors with their refrigerator on the back porch. Don't tell me that's love.
Or there's signs in their yard or any of it, you know. So So I just, and the other thing about the accepting of it is to say, can I just really accept loving? You know,
because what you're seeing is that it's not about them. Right, it's not that sign in the yard is unloving. I have just identified with what I'm not, which sees everything as unloving. So anytime I identify, you know, our lingo, of course, with egocentric uh-huh. karmic conditioning self-hate, I'm looking through the eyes of not love. So, of course, I'm going to see not love. As soon as I disidentify, now I'm back here, which we could say is in love, I don't see things that way.
And what one of the barriers, Sherry, that in this refinement is like actually believing that it's true that loving exists, you know, accepting that it's really so, that loving is here, that loving is there, because I mean, that not love kind of gets in the way, but there's just been something about it's actually true. Loving is actually true.
You know from your own experience every time you're in love.
And seeing how quickly it can get distorted or distracted away from. So, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a quick thought, right? A sensation in the body.
Uh-huh.
Right? So
uh-huh.
you look at that sign or that refrigerator on the back porch and there's a that means that's wrong. That shouldn't be. That and then of course if we're not paying attention to the second thought that follows that initial conclusion that conditioning makes, then we're off to the races. Yeah, well, and the conclusion is gonna be, okay, well, all right, yeah, some things are love. And some things aren't.
And it's been such a personal thing. You know, it can be, you know, the attention can be external. It tends to be more internal about what will this experience or this thing that I just said or did isn't love. You know, so it's that to say, who knows? If I'm practicing love and I'm practicing with everything I've got.
Well, Lori, here's the principle behind what you're seeing and saying that could be helpful. Every
uh-huh.
time we go into not loving, we have entered ego's dualistic world.
Yep.
Anytime there's any sort of opposite, right? So
anytime.
If we go back to the comparison requires duality. you got to have two different things in order. In life, there is no duality.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So anytime that it starts, you can go, wait a minute, that's a duality. That's ego.
Yeah, you know, and I can say, yeah, I understand that. And I've been having such a direct experience of it, that's why I'm so grateful for how we just keep on day after day after day looking at this. And then listening, you know, being a part of the conversation. And I listen to what's said, and I go, oh, my gosh, that's amazing to see through it that way. So that's the other thing.
Yes.
I just want to say, you know, gratitude and such appreciation for our practice. And
for practice, for Sangha, for our desire, our willingness, our wish to be in love instead of perpetuating suffering.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
All right. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori. Sherry, what I was seeing about that is back to the duality and the process-like comparison that ego uses, which is just that because the not this gets associated to an object, it defines love as towards objects as opposed to it's a perspective or a process. Mm-hmm. That's why as soon as the movement happens to, okay, the refrigerator made me think an unloving thought, that therefore love is towards something, right? As opposed to, no, it's not. Love is that process that we're talking about, which is simply not identified with ego,
Yes.
Not identified in that dualistic orientation.
Yes. Well, because what you're describing, so love is, and all the synonyms we know for love, this here now and that which is and all of that. And then ego uses conditioning, karma, right, to identify objects that are outside that, which is what creates the duality. But there isn't anything outside it.
Mm.
That's imaginary. Dualities are an illusion. They're imaginary.
Yeah.
Yeah?
All right, here's our next.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. Thank you.
Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Hello, Tony. What you
saying? Hey, Sherry. Oh, wow. I just seem so very much. And it's interesting. I've been in the queue for the last several days, and each day I had something very different to say each day about what I'm looking at. And then today now.
Which is good, isn't it?
Yes. Because I really.
You're not stuck.
No, but I actually did get a little bit identified earlier with the very process that I've been looking at. So I hope I have some clarity at the moment.
Well, yeah. You have enough, Tony, that you're on this call talking about it, so I would say the odds are good. Yes. All right. So what is it?
Well, I've been practicing looking at and bringing acceptance to this process, which is this enormous frustration that happens with technology, particularly under time pressure.
Uh-huh.
And since I'm...
You're trying to teach a class.
Yes.
And the internet goes down, or... Uh-huh.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Because it's a lot more... It's probably always been there, but it's just that I'm relying on technology a great deal more, and, you know, I'm always feeling the time pressure. And so, you know, maybe work on something for 45 minutes that I'm not particularly used to, and then I lose it all. And I only had 45 minutes, so, you know, and that's things like that, or just trying to find stuff and do stuff. Everything takes, you know, four times as long as I want it to, planned for it to. So I'm just seeing so much about, and it always seems like the karma always comes down to the, trying to keep myself or somebody from getting angry or deeply disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Both of which you're experiencing.
Both of which I'm experiencing. And so I would be, it happened this morning. I got so frustrated. Like I was in tears. I was so frustrated. And I just said, okay, stop, because I'm practicing with this. So I stopped. I said, stop. And picked up the recorder and just did a little two-handed recording. Because part of it's been, I'm not allowed to be frustrated, because frustration is going to lead to anger, and somebody's going to get hurt. So I think that intensifies the frustration.
Yeah, you.
Because I'm usually not. Yes. I'm getting hurt, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the part we're not supposed to see, right?
Yes.
Because all of what you're describing, it's so perfectly awareness practice, because life is what life is. Right? There is not a life available to you in which these situations are different. It's only in the mind that we hear it should be different.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're running into is, I don't want to accept life as it is. I want to live in my ego delusions about how it should be, and then let ego jerk me around with feeling bad, getting upset, getting angry, you know, feeling like the wrong person, because I'm sure you hear some, you know, if you were doing it right, or if you were a more right person, these kinds of things wouldn't be happening. You know, all of that stuff that is true all the time, right? And we won't face it until, you know, we're right up against it, which, of course, when we step back from that, we can see is, well, how else was Tony ever going to see so clearly what ego is able to do to her?
Well, that, it's like underlining that, that just is so,
yes,
just a real so awakening.
That's what it is. And you know, we talk about this all the time, and the difficulty is, so much of our lives we don't have to face it, because we are privileged people, and for lots of us, for years, we pretty much had everything we wanted and had to look pretty hard for things to get upset about, although we were always able to find them. So there's always something wrong. If nothing else, I can be completely egocentrically focused on myself and just parsing and nitpicking and, you know, in my identification with ego, because there's but not that much wrong, right? But now, now life seems to have opened up for us a greater opportunity to see how ego causes us to suffer.
Yes.
And what ego wants us to do is just feel worse. Oh, well, you know, I'm so frustrated because I want this to go really well because I have these students and, you know, it's up to me and they're not and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Tony, what is wrong with you that you can't get this right? And, yeah. So nothing is really different. It's just now you're really up against it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like it's intensified. Plus, I'm not around a lot of people, so I can't blame it on anybody around me. And, you know, and I'm like, you know, sitting in this basement, me and the computer. I mean, you know, really.
Right. Oh, it's so perfect, isn't it? Just briefly, I'll tell you that when I first went to the monastery where I trained, I was by myself, obviously, and I couldn't find my cup, my favorite cup. And I watched myself look for the person to blame, and then in that same experience, there wasn't anybody else. So clearly I had done something with that cup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a light's coming on moment, right? If we don't let self-hate turn it into, well, see, there it is. It's always been you, and it always is you, and blah, blah, blah. Just that, oh, my gosh. Wow, there's nobody else to blame. So, So ego just has me now to dump it all on.
Yeah. Well, that's why just for me this morning, just stopping that process and doing a little two-handed recording and listening. I just, like, you know, said it all and then, listened and mentored back a little bit, and it was just, and I just stopped what I was
You're
doing.
Not God. You're not God, right? We're not. We're not in charge. We have no control. This is not in our hands. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, Tony, that I think is so powerful about it is you know you're doing the best that you can do. Now, the voices would like you to believe that you're not, but you are. If there were any way you could make this work, you would, and you can't.
Yes.
Oh. And that's where we just let go and let life.
Yeah, that is really helpful. It's like, you know, I'm not in charge. I can't make this happen right now. We just gonna let it go.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Say yes to the lesson. That's all I've got. Okay. Teacher goes to school.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, take good care of yourself, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tony and Sherry. That brings us to the end of this show. Our assignment for today, do your daily practice. There is a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. Martha Graham. Today, pay special attention to how this life force in you is uniquely expressed. R.L.
Gosh, what a different focus. Not on what's wrong, but in everything that is being expressed because you exist. Gorgeous.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.